afternoon, everyone. Good to see you all. Thank you for the song. That's one of my favorite songs. Beautiful job. Nice job. Hope you're all having a good Sabbath. It's amazing. You know, after we've been through this pandemic, we certainly do look forward to getting together more, don't we? When you had to sit at home there for a while and just see Ron. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that, Ron. No, you know, it's just really, God wants it this way. So, it's good to be here and get to fellowship with one another. And we just grow closer together as a family. And that's what we need to do. So we'll do those prayers and things like Ron was talking about earlier. You know, our God sanctified this day that we're here. And only He could do that. For us to rest and be with Him and each other, His family, together and celebrate, sing praises to Him, hear His holy word, and grow closer to Him. And grow closer to Him by obeying and worshiping Him. Sanctified means, according to the 1969 New Webster Dictionary, you can tell it's an old one, that means I'm old too, to set apart to a holy or religious use, to hallow, to purify from sin, to make means of holiness, to celebrate or confess holy. We are here because our God called and opened our minds. And how blessed we are to understand and know and to obey the calling that He has given us. We are blessed and are called now as others are not able to understand. You know, it says in Mark 2:28, don't turn there, I'm just going to refer to these. Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. Also in Matthew 12:8 and Luke 6:5. But God opened our minds, and how blessed we are. And that's in Matthew 20:16. Not turning there either. This is really not my sermon, just an introductory to us. It's just telling us we need to really appreciate the blessing we have to be together. And God has given us a fine hall to be in. And hopefully this COVID will not interfere and shut us down again because we just got back. So you need to keep that in our prayers too, that we'll not intervene anymore. What I'd really like to do today is finish going over Christ's first sermon, the Beatitudes. I got through about a little over halfway last time, or time before last, I guess. So I'd like to go back to it. As you know, we talked about Christ coming in Matthew 4, going through the temptations of Satan, and how Satan tried to give him something, and to Christ, that was probably, are you kidding me? That's nothing. My Father has the whole universe, whatever else we know here. But anyhow, he fasted 40 days because he knew it was going to be the biggest test he probably had as a human being, besides giving his life for you and me and the rest of the world. To review, let's go back to Matthew 5 and do the first part of his sermon, because that's so important, because that's talking directly to us and telling us what we're to be, how we're to be growing, and how we should be representing Him. In verse 3 it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." That's a promise. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." That basically right there tells us right from the beginning of his sermon what we need to be striving for every day. This is where we want to be, is with Him. This is how we get there. We have to be changing and growing. Verse 11 says, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Are we ready? It says back here in verse 13, it says, you put your name in here. Are you the salt of the earth? You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. But we were just told, if we do what was ahead of us that we just heard, we will never lose that flavor, because we'll always stay close to God. We'll always be striving to do God's will. And He has always given each of us a way to come to Him through prayer. And we have an intercessor, Jesus Christ, who gave His life for each and every one of us. Then He tells you, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives you light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We went through the other. There are 21 in these three chapters, 21 things that Christ covers that we need to have in our heart and mind to understand. He's giving us examples of what to do and what not to do. But I'm going to jump now up to where I basically want to start. We got a little farther than this, but I want to start chapter 6 and verse 19, laying up your treasures in heaven. It's warning us. It's a warning from Christ. Do not lay up yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Then we'll drop down to verse 24. Like I did before, I'm dropping through. It says, you cannot serve God and riches. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other. We must always realize in our lives that Satan keeps throwing mammon at us, because we are physical. And we have to overcome the physical weaknesses and have to ask help from God, so we will. And that we will always make the right choice. We must choose God's way every time. Yet, to get instructions at all time. That's why He preserved it for each and every one of us. So that we have something to go back on and read and reread and make sure we understand. And if we fail and we fall and we have a problem, we can go back and read. And God shows us exactly, through the writings of the Bible, how we can overcome. Don't put yourself in those situations. And I'd like to go to one of my favorite verses, I'm sure yours probably too, is verse 33. Because this is basically what this all goes towards. Verse 33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." All these understandings, all this will be understanding to you and me, and we will be able to overcome the evil one who is trying to destroy us, because Christ is on our side, God is on our side, and He wants each and every one of us to be with him. That's why he called us. That's why he called us. He didn't call us to fail. He called us to finish the race. He called us to be with him for eternity. We sometimes don't realize how fortunate and how blessed we are. Because yes, we do have problems sometimes. Yes, we do. But how would you like to have problems like some of us have, or even worse, and not know there's a God there worrying about you, caring for you, loving you, and wanting you to be with him for eternity. And that he gave his son that we can always repent, always change, and always grow. And they'll be there to help us. What a loving God. What a blessing we have. And sometimes you realize after a while, it's like kids take parents for granted, right? But you know that parent is always looking out after you, trying to keep you from getting hurt, trying to help you from making mistakes, trying to instruct you as God tries to instruct us on how to live life, how to live a good life, how to live a happy life, and how to have a life with God eternity as a spirit being, living for eternity. How can we ever measure that? As a physical human being, we can't even understand it in one sense because we can see so far down the road. I've seen 75 years of the road so far. But what's eternity? In this physical stage, guess what? It gets harder. It doesn't get easier. The body starts deteriorating. What you did when you was 25 or 30, you weren't thinking about it. You'd ever be my age. When you get my age, you say, I don't even think about doing that. That's the dumbest thing I could ever do. I would never get up out of bed again, probably. You see young kids doing the things they do, you go, wow. You know, one time I used to do that. I used to run down the basketball court. Are you kidding me? Whew. One run and I'd probably take me to the hospital. But you know, that's what it is. This is a physical life. It is only a temporary life. God's life is an eternal life. And that's what he's offering each of us. That's why we must understand and that we must fear God. In the right way. Just as you fear parents, as kids fear their parents. Because if God says, hey, if you do this, this is going to happen. It's going to happen if you don't change and grow. He says, if you don't do what I tell you and change and do the commandments and get yourself in line, you will die. You won't be in the kingdom. He gives each and every one of us every chance there is. He's even given the whole world a whole chance. But he's opened our chance up now. We are offered the opportunity of being the first fruits of God's family. You're going to be the big brothers and sisters of those coming up, and they're going to be looking for us to guide and direct them. That's why we're the teachers. We are to be growing now and learning and growing and becoming the teachers and having it so we can explain it. And guide and direct them. I've always wondered, if we're in the millennium and we're helping other people, will we have to tell some of our bad things too that we overcome? You know, God writes in the Bible about all the men that he's called on. Look at all the fine men. You say, well, yeah, but he talked about David. He talked about Saul. He talked about all the men. And all the things that went on and showed how what? They changed. And see, we know we've all slipped, right? That's why we have Passover every year. Because we know there's some things we forgot, didn't realize even, and we have to go before God. To repent. To look at ourselves and see ourselves and not to look at the other person because there's only one person we can change and that's you. You can change yourself and I can change mine. You can talk to me blue in the face, but if I don't want to listen to you, I won't change. If God talks to me and I don't do, he says, well, I make you go through some things. Maybe you'll say, hey, I'm sorry, God. You know, it's not out of, he doesn't love me. He wants me and he wants you to see what we have done and to change and say, I'm sorry, repent, and then go forward. And aren't we glad? We read in the Bible, it says, you know, you forgive 70 times 7. Well, you know, I think I've used that 70 times 7 probably up if that's what he stopped the number at. But hopefully it's just an extending number. Because I'm 70 years old and I'm sure I've probably done 70 things a year that's probably been wrong. So I'm in trouble. I'm out of 70 times 7. You know, hopefully not. And I'm not, as long as I will change and repent and grow, and neither are you. None of us are. That's the loving God we serve. That's the loving God that says, here, let me help you. What do you do when a child has a problem and they're crying to you? What do? First thing you do is you hug them, talk to them, everything's okay, we'll take care of it, it's all right, yeah, it's okay. You know? And they get comfort. God gives us comfort if we seek it. God loves us totally, unconditionally. And will forgive us of anything if we'll repent, except for against the Holy Spirit, if we sin against the Holy Spirit. So that has always been a thing that we need to keep in mind, because that's what we have to keep in front of us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, because God's kingdom is coming. That is the future for each and every one of us and for the whole world who repents and changes. And his righteousness. His righteousness are his laws. We are to obey those laws. Obey those commandments. And when we do something wrong, we are to change. But we're to see those laws and learn that we shouldn't do this. That's what the Bible is all about. Telling us what should be done and what shouldn't be done. And then it tells you what the penalties are. And if we fear God and realize that the penalties will come if we do not change, then we will grow. We will learn to love that Father who takes us and helps us and forgives us. And we'll grow and do his will always. Every day we have to fight the evil one, the one that tested Christ and his demons. And when he wants to hit you is when you're down the most. And that's why those were brought out by Ron in a sermonette. We have to learn to love each other and pray for each other and be sincere. God wants us to be sincere in everything we do. We pray for someone, when we ask for forgiveness, he doesn't want to be flippant because he's not going to hear it. But if you're totally sorry, really sorry for what you've done, God forgives. And if we try to overcome, he sees it. If we don't and we just go back and just say, I don't know if I should say this, but there's a religion. I'll put it this way. There's a religion where when you do something wrong, you go in and you tell them your sin and then you go out and say such and such and then you're forgiven. I remember my friends when I was young used to go to it on Friday night and they'd go in and do their what they do and whatever they were told to do. And then we went out and did the same thing we did the Friday before. We didn't change anything. They didn't mean it. They just said it because that's what they had to say. God won't accept that. God wants us to be like him, loving and sincere. He loves us with all of his might. He loves us, and he wants us to love him the same way. And if you love somebody, you don't laugh them off. You don't take it for granted. You realize how much they have done for you. You realize how much they care for you and what they wouldn't do to help you. That's what God is to us. And that's what we're to be to each other. We're following Christ's example and God the Father who sent him. So as we do these things that we do sometimes and we have to repent, and we should repent, and hopefully we'll repent immediately, we need to realize all we have to do is just change and get ourselves in line with God's laws, which he tells us to do, and seek his kingdom, and we will start getting our path straight. If we've strayed off here, Sorry to say, it depends how far you've gone off here. You may have to come back down that road that you dug a hole in and take you a while to get there and get back on a straight path. But we can do it because you know why? We have a loving God who's there rooting us on the whole way. And Jesus Christ is there too. He said, hey, I give my life for you. Don't quit now. Don't quit now. Some have. Hopefully, they'll repent and come back, and hopefully, we'll all be together in God's kingdom. The next feast we have is the Feast of Trumpets. That's the return of Jesus Christ. If we're there, we're going to be there as physical beings. First, we raise those in the ground. Then the saints, they're living. Changed in the twinkling of an eye. You go from physical to spiritual. And you know what we can do that day? Is that going to be a happy day? Oh, you have overcome the evil one. You are going to have life eternal. And guess what? You get to help destroy this desolate world that we're living in. That God is going to get rid of and give those a chance once he gives them another opportunity. But they are going to see total destruction. When they come out of that, that is going to be worse than any war that any person has ever been in all the wars we've ever had. And we see how those who have been in wars are mixed up because of what they've been through. I had an uncle who was in World War II, was in three of the major battles, and he came back and he never was the same. All he did was drift. He worked long enough to get a job, get a little bit of money, go to Las Vegas, spend it all, come back on a bus because he was smart enough to buy a bus ticket when he got there. Otherwise, he would have had no money at all. He came back once I know of in a brand new car, so he did win one time. But he lost his family because he couldn't communicate. He couldn't get over it. You know the syndromes? I don't know what type of syndrome he had, but he had to have something really bad. And he traveled that way. He thumbed across the United States I don't know how many times. And the miserable life this man had, he would come to our house because he came to everybody's house. And he would sit in a chair. He'd roll cigarettes, smoke cigarettes, and drink coffee. He would get up out of the chair, go around, he was right close to the kitchen, go around the kitchen, get a cup of coffee, go back, sit down, and he'd do that all day. Every day. Now, ladies, after about a week, how would you like to have a guy doing that in your house? Well, by the end of the week, I think my aunt who raised me, I think she had Uncle Bob pretty much, you're leaving now. You are leaving now. Here's some money. You got to go. Well, he would, but then he'd go to his other brother's house. He made the round. He had four brothers. Three brothers. And he'd make the round, stay in a week or two with each one of them and get kicked out, and they'd give him $20. And I know it doesn't sound like much money today, but back in 1950, that was a lot of money. You know, so he could be gone. But he traveled around the country. And he did that. Lost track of him when he got about 56 years old. Thought he died because all my uncles had died. They all died by the time they were 60. And of all things, my cousin found him. And he said, you know where he's at, Uncle is? And I said, no. He says, he's up at the Dayton Hospital for war veterans. And that's where he was at. I went to see him. It's the first time I realized how much I had changed. That was probably about 20 years ago. I walked in. He had a caved inside of his head, so you knew he'd had some type of aneurysm or something. And he popped up and looked at me, and they just fell back down. That's when I realized I was getting old and I was looking like my dad, because he thought, where'd he come from? Because he went to his funeral. He knew he wasn't, you know. But I realized how much I hate him. Went from that, what you'd call, buff young man to the fluff big guy. Because my dad was fluff. So, you know. But the thing is, he's going to have a chance. He's going to get to have his right mind because of Christ's sacrifice. And so is everyone else, or most everyone else. Because of God and the loving Son, Jesus Christ, who died for you and me and everyone in this world. And we're going to have the opportunity to help them. That's what we're being called for and our training is for. But when I look at that and I see my dad and them and everyone else, none of my family was ever in the church, you know. And I was looked about as an oddball when I came in, which was, you know, I understood, you know. Friends that we know, because they've watched us, and hopefully we put the right example, you know. Or they may say, wow, if he's there, anybody can make it, you know, you never know. But it doesn't make any difference. They will see that we have changed, or you have changed, or, you know, we were the way we were when they knew you. Said, oh, I'm going to become like them? Oh, you know. Because when I came in church, my dad disowned me. And, you know, I told him, I said, Dad, I wouldn't have done this 4 years ago either. But, you know, when God opened your mind to my mind, you couldn't let go. You couldn't let go because it was so different and so good and it all came so fast. And you're going like, wow, you know, I got to do this. I don't know if it's the same for the younger people as much because they have more education, more things available because of all the technology and everything else, you know. But for us who are older, it was a big revelation. It's like, wow, you knew something was happening, but you couldn't stop. You said, I got to do it. I got to do this, you know. And aren't we glad we did? And aren't we glad the young people today who are being baptized and stuff and coming along, aren't we glad? It may be a different experience for them, but they still have to face different things. And they have to make choices. We all have to make the choice to obey. That's why, let's get down to chapter 7 here. It says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it will measure back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye? Oh, what a shame when you think about it. But do not consider the plank that is in your own. That gets back to the point that we can only change ourselves. I can't make you change. I can't make you change. And you can't make me change if I'm not willing. That's why we have to have the open mind to understand. And that's what God does for us. And that's why we'll listen to friends. You, I would listen to. Some people out in the world, I may not listen to. Because I don't know if they care about me or whether they just feed me a line. Have you ever had that? Trying to sell you something? All they care was you signed a dotted line, made the money. And they walked away and see you later. But not all people are that way. There are good people in the world. God just hadn't opened their mind yet. We have been chosen. We have been in the world. I don't believe we have any of us who are great and named. Does anybody know you outside of your county or your, you know? People I know basically are in God's church, most of them. I have friends back home and stuff, but my family is here. My family's been to church for over 50 years. You know. And how blessed it's been to be a family. How blessed it is to know that you have people we can count on. If you have a problem, somebody can help you. Somebody will know somebody can help you. And we will do our best to do our part to help you. Because that's called love. That's called mercy. Because you see, I understand I'm not close to being perfect, and neither are you. None of us are. So that's why we need to take the beam out of our own eye, because it's much more than what we're seeing in someone else's eye. And that's the one that will destroy you and me and keep us from being in God's kingdom if we don't take care of it. And it tells you what we are in verse 5. It says, hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. Verse 7 tells us, very important, ask from God and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened. If we're doing our part, just as you hear your children's pleas for doing something, pleads to do something, if they've been good and you can do it, if there's anything, any way you can do it, you will do it. If it's good for them, if it's something they can get hurt in or do something wrong, you will say no. And sometimes God says that to us. But His interest is always for us to have good. And sometimes we just have to learn to be patient, because sometimes maybe we're not ready for something we think we are. But God knows. God knows. But we must never quit seeking. Never quit asking. And never quit knocking at the door to let us in. To let us be a part of your family for eternity. Because that's what we want. That is the final thing. Jerusalem. We're looking forward to it. Just as you read about back in the Old Testament, it all looked towards Jerusalem. The Israelites, they all wanted to be in Jerusalem. Because that was God's city. But we're going to God's holy city that is the real city. It'll be there for eternity. And we have a part to be a part of that family. You know, the way is narrow sometimes. I think Ron was talking about a week or two ago about the needle. You know what that needle is they're talking about? I never knew for years. I used to always say, what in the world are they talking about? How's a camel ever going to get through a needle? You know, that's when you're coming in, you don't understand. You're saying, what are they talking about? There ain't no way you're going to get that big camel through a little needle hole. There's no way. Well, that was a door after dark. And it was a small door that they could get a camel in, and they had to get down on their knees and crawl on their knees to go through. And that's why they're saying, it's as hard as getting a camel through a needle. I never knew that for years. But that makes sense, see, because I said, then you might as well quit, because I'm never going to get through that little needle. But that's what the... excuse me. But that's what that's about. So God has given us the way to walk, the straight and narrow, and we need to do that. And the only way we can do that is with God's help, with God's Spirit in us, with His help and guidance. So when we come before God, are humble and meek, God just loves us to death, just as you love your children when they're so sweet. I used to think mine were sweet when it's asleep. And they were. Because you look at him and say, that sweet little thing, I can't believe he ever did that. But he did. You know? That's what God probably says about us when we're good. He says, I can't believe he just did that the other day, or he did that 3 weeks ago. He is so good now. He just looks so like a darling there laying, you know, just so peaceful. But God loves you and me so much. And we have to learn to love Him so much. And just as Children fear their parents if they cross the line and don't do what's right. We need to fear God because He will do what He says. He's very patient. He's very kind. He's very loving. But there is a time that we better not be sleeping. And that's why we're to keep our nose into God's word and way of life and living it. Because He always says, you don't know the day or the hour that He's coming. In verse 15, it talks about, you know, you're known by your fruits. Down in verse 20, we'll go to, therefore by their fruits you will know them. Because a good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree doesn't bear good fruit. And we're to be the good trees. So what we do is representing God every day when we are about. We meet people, you know. Are we just, you know, in church, we try to be what you call, people say, godly? Or are we example of God's way of life everywhere? Do we show the love, the patience? Are we? Do we have the fruits of God's Spirit working in us all the time? We certainly need to, because our example is before everyone that we meet. And you know there's a warning. Let's go down and verse 21. There is a warning. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I would declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. We do not want to fall and be a part of that group. You and I want to read, study, pray, change as we see God wants a change in us. And receive the happiness that comes from that change of living a godly life. We're to develop that pure heart and pure mind. We're to develop that love for God the Father. A love for Jesus Christ, our Savior. And a love for all of our brothers and sisters. And learn to love the whole world as Christ does, because He gave His life for us. He gave us life for them. Let me go to verse 24. It says, build on the rock. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Who's the rock? Jesus Christ and God the Father. That's our rock. That's our rock. It will never move. Now, everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. No, this is Christ saying it. Everyone who hears these things and doesn't do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And as it was when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as scribes. The Beatitudes is directly from Jesus Christ. The Beatitudes has so much information are 21 subjects that it covers in those three chapters, telling us how to live, how to be, what to watch for. You and I have been truly blessed. You and I have lived a good life. We have no idea how good of a life it is. For we always have hope, we always have faith, and we always have love. Our faith and our hope and our love is God the Father. We will survive. We will overcome. And we will be a part of that wonderful city with God the Father for eternity. Let's be sure that you and I get one of those mansions that Christ talks about. I'll take you there. I believe it's Luke 14. I guess I got the wrong scripture. Anyhow, it's talking about the many mansions that Christ went to fulfill. He said he came back. He's going to get the mansions. It's be for each of us. I just wrote down the wrong scripture, I guess. But you know the parable. He said he went to fix many. He's going back to his father, many mansions. That's a place for you and me. And then again, as a warning, we need to go to Mark 13, 32. Because as he tells us what to do and how we can do it and everything, he also has a warning. No one knows the day or the hour. But that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the sons, but only the Father. Take heed. Watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. What a blessing we have is we have a loving Father. We have the Father who asked Christ to give his life for us so that our sins could be forgiven, so we can be a part of his family. We have to obey. We have to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And we have to go after it with all of our might. It's not a game. It's our life. It's our life now, and it can be our life for eternity. It's truly up to us.